here this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you here this morning. And God, as we look at your word, and God, I pray you'd spur in our hearts, as that song just sang, that we would live for you. God, that we would take our faith and our Christianity serious. God, I pray you'd help us with that. Lord, help us not to get distracted. Lord, bless this time now. Lord, please fill me. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your power, Lord. Lord, again, I pray that you just bless the things that are said and done here for your honor and glory. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, it's great to serve the Lord, isn't it?
Amen.
It's good to have the Word of God and that we can open. And this, if you would turn to the book of Jude, A number of verses here this morning. Some I'll read to you, some I'll ask you to turn. Book of Jude is the second to last book of your Bible. If you find Revelation, just go left a little bit and you'll hit the book of Jude. It's only one chapter in it. We started an institute back up, and it's been a blessing. Monday and Tuesday night, we open up the scriptures and just study them. The one class we're taking that I have the privilege of teaching is a doctrine class. And in doctrine class, one of the rules for doctrine is, we major on what God majors and minor on what he minors. Say, what do you mean? I gave this illustration. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking in the scriptures about what happened to Christ between ages of 12 and 30. Because God doesn't talk a lot about that. We're going to minor on that. But he does speak very clearly about some things, and we're going to make a big deal about that. And we say that phrase, major on the majors, minor on the minors. And often it is spoken so we don't get distracted by wasting time on things that just don't mean much. Can God make a rock so big that he can't? Stop. Just stop. Did Adam have a belly button? Who cares? Who cares? Do you know Jesus Christ? Now, that's an important thing. And oftentimes we use that phrase to keep us from wasting time, but I'm going to ask this morning, are we doing that? Are we majoring on what God has majored on?
Amen.
Have we made a big deal about what God makes a big deal? Jude chapter number 1 and verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it is needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. If that's not underlined in your Bible, maybe you'd consider that. Which was once delivered unto you, unto the saints. Are you earnestly contending for the faith? Are you in this thing? Are you about this thing? Are you? So the context here is this. Apostasy is, say, what is apostasy? It is a turning away of what is true and what is right. Turning away from the scriptures, turning away from the faith. This book was written in approximately, my Bible says 66 AD. Apostasy was a problem. Well, one generation from when Christ rose again, and already there's things gone astray. What of today? Here we are 2,000 years since Christ last touched foot on this earth. Yeah, there's apostasy. I feel like it's the same warning. Could we not say? Hey, could we not exhort one another to earnestly contend for the faith? Again, today is no different than Jude chapter number 1. Common salvation has come to us. It is easy to get saved. Say, what does that mean? Simply put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. God made a simple plan of salvation, common salvation. Anybody can be saved. It's not just for men. It's not just for women. It's not for old. It's not just for young. It's not for rich or poor. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the culture. Salvation is common amongst us. There's not a group of people where we no longer distinguish. This is no longer for the Gentiles. No, it had made a full transition to all. And here we are. Yet the author still is encouraging that we should contend for the faith. And I'm going to ask you here this morning, are you in it? Well, I'm in church this morning, Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. I appreciate you being here. I posted something on Facebook this week. It is a huge encouragement just to have you here. To one another, not just me, but to one another. So I don't know. You try going to Thanksgiving by yourself. I said, why would I do that? Exactly. Why would you do that? No, we go to Thanksgiving, yes, for the good food. Thanksgiving's close. Getting excited about that thought just there. Getting together with family. Get to see relatives you don't get to normally see. Fellowship. Thank God for things. Maybe take some special time to just go around the table and just, hey, let's thank the Lord for some stuff. So that's a wonderful time of year. Say, why are you talking about Thanksgiving? Because it's good to get together, right? I'm glad you're here. But just coming to church isn't contending for the faith, may I say. The battle's out there. This is where the decisions are made. This is where we get equipped. But the battle's out on the other side. 1 Timothy 6:12 says this, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul says, hey, fight the good fight of faith. Remember when Jesus was being taken captive? Judas came into the garden, and there he goes up to him. He signifies that it was Christ by placing a kiss upon his cheek. And then the guards come, and they seize. Well, they're confronting the disciples. Peter takes out a sword, swings it, and nearly kills a man. Say, how does he nearly kill a man? Cut his ear off. That was pretty close to a headshot, if you ever. And what does Christ say? Peter, put away your sword. That's not the battle we're fighting. And I wonder almost, hey, would we have better participation if it was a physical battle? Maybe. But here it tells us to fight the good fight of faith. Are you standing for faith? Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind. Listen now, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Remember, I was in high school. It was my junior year. And I heard a message preached in chapel service. Jay, you might have remembered it. It was preached on the game of Christianity. And the preacher went through and he talked about how as young people, we were the possibility of making Christianity just a game. The scripture never refers to it as a game. It is serious. The things of faith, the things of the gospel, they're serious things. This isn't just I'll pretend to be one thing on Sunday and then I'll live a different life on Monday. No, no. Amen. Are you earnestly contending for the faith? Are you in this thing? Are you taking this thing serious? Point number one, go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. I'm going to read 10 verses here. The Bible says, "And you hath he," Ephesians 2, "and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That is what you were. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's before God steps in. First two words of verse 4, but God. Hey, this is what you were. You were given to the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Bible says in another place, by nature, children of disobedience. That's who you were. That's what the life of sin looks like. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Not because we were something beautiful. Not because we were something good. Not because we were something right. But God, who is merciful and loving, looked at us and he said this. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Say, why are you saying that? Because in verse 3, that's what you were. But now, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Right. Number one, title of our message here this morning is Taking It Serious. Are you taking your sin serious? Well, it's not that, it's a big deal. It was a big deal to God. And what is a big deal to God ought to be a big deal to us. How do you know it was a big deal to God? He took it serious, so serious that he sent his only son to be the payment for your sin. For the wages of sin is death. That's how serious it is. There's a show, I'm not really endorsing it or whatever, but it is somewhat, I don't even know why it's entertaining, but it's called To Catch a Smuggler. And there are these people and they risk bringing contraband in or out of the United States. And they'll be talking to them. They're like, hey, where are you going? And they have the story. And there's just something that's not clicking. And it's nicely dressed lady. You wouldn't have ever thought. And they're like, what's going on here? And they go into her little carry-on bag. They're like, can you unlock this for us? Sure, no problem. Unlock it. And there's like 8 kilos of cocaine in there. It's like, what on earth? And then it says, you know, and then she's going off in handcuffs through the airport. You know, and they're like, minimum sentence, you know, 3 to 6 years in prison. And it's like, wow, that's rough. That was dumb, but that's rough. For the wages of sin is death. That's not just 3 to 6 years in prison. The consequence of sin is eternal damnation. The gift of salvation is eternal life. Either way, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. The consequence of our sin is eternal damnation. It's hell forever. You don't get out. I was at a funeral just recently, and the person that was doing the funeral said these words, please pray for your loved one. They were already passed. It's too late. It's past. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the judgment. Hey, this isn't a game. This isn't like, hey, I want to see how much I can get away with. I love games. I love board games. Melody, I am a huge board game fan. I would even categorize myself as a board game geek. That's how far it is. Just recently, we were at New Jersey, and I mentioned to the group that I was talking to, and somehow board games came up, and a guy came up to me after. He's like, you like playing games? I said, yeah. He goes, I like playing board games. And I'm like, all right, here we go. I said, what do you like to play? He's like, oh, we love Life and Monopoly. And I said, okay. Well, that's good. And say, what's wrong with those? Those are great games. We're just at a different level. Roger, different level. I can play those games. I enjoy those games. Battleship, Clue, all of those, Guess Who, you know, all that stuff. Old Maid, fun. But sometimes that's how we approach our life. It's just a game. It is not a game. A game, when game doesn't go well, we don't flip the table or go crying because we lost. It's just a game. If your favorite team loses, it doesn't matter. It's just a game. It does not matter in eternity who wins the World Series, who wins the Super Bowl. I'm glad our girls won, but in the grand scheme of things, we don't take soccer as serious as we take the gospel. Are we taking our sin as serious as God has taken it? Say, how serious did he take it? He sent his son to die for us. Because the payment for sin is death. If we're taking sin serious, as we should, number one, we would consider our own salvation. Hey, if you're here today and you don't know for sure, you know what the Bible says? I am so comforted by these verses. This isn't in my notes, but I want to show you this. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John 5. Listen to verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And you know what? I ask this question all the time to people that I talk to about the Lord. I say, do you know that you have eternal life? I can't tell you how many times, Brother Rice, I've heard the words, well, I hope so. I think so. No, salvation is, I know so. So if you're here today and you don't know for sure that you've been saved, you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you don't know for sure that you have eternal life simply by the blood of Christ, you can know that today. Hey, take your sin serious. That debt is a serious debt. But number two, if we take our sin serious, if we take sin serious, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 tells us this. In verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Hey, if we take sin serious, number one, we'll get right with the Lord. Number two, we're going to take that message to everybody we can find. All of a sudden, souls become serious. When sin is serious to us, we want to try and reach others with the gospel. Hey, is sin serious to you? Are you seeking? Luke 19:10. That's why Jesus Christ came, to seek and to save that which was lost. Who are you trying to share the gospel with? Who are you telling? Well, I'll just let them come to my desk, or I'll let them, I don't know. I'm glad our neighbor came to us one day and said, hey, do you want to come to church with me? Change the course of my eternity. Who are you teaching the scriptures? The Bible says that we're an ambassador. That means we represent Christ and we go to another land. Hey, this world is no longer our home. Are we reaching others for Christ? Are we seeking? Are we teaching? Are we serving others? Hey, if sin is serious to us, every week we ought to be inviting people to come to church. Every week we ought to be telling someone the gospel. Every week we ought to be teaching our children. Every week we ought to be serving the Lord. But that's only if sin is serious to us. If this is just a game, it's just another check mark on my weekly schedule. Church, Sunday, done. Maybe I'll find my Bible. Maybe I'll pray a little. But when sin becomes serious, our care for the lost becomes serious. Everybody handles grief differently. I recognize this. This was a great truth that was revealed to me when my mom passed away. I didn't know this about myself. Learned this when my mom died. My sister, Rhonda, and if she was sitting here, I'd say these words. They're out of town this weekend. She really struggled, like physically, emotionally, spiritually, all of that, when my mom passed. So how did you deal with it? I recognize there's nothing I can really do about it, and I'm not going to let it stop what I feel like God has led me to do. That God is in charge of it, and I can't control it. And now I know everybody grieves differently. But in some way, in my mind, I had to move on. Because if I just lived there where my mom passed away and just lived at that moment, I would never be able to continue on. You know, sometimes it's good to reflect on our sin and just see how serious that thing is. Say, well, I just don't want to think about that. Yeah, but I don't have a little shrine made to my mom or Pastor Huber or something like that at my house. But there are regular occasions where I think about them, think about their influence. Well, I just don't like thinking about that stuff. I get it. That's how I process things too. Every now and then we ought to consider our sin and take that serious. Right. Say, why? Because God took it serious. And when God takes serious, we should too. In Titus chapter number 3 and verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Number one, we should take our sin serious. Number two, we should take our sanctification serious. Why? Because God did. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, our identity is in Christ. I get that. Who are you? I'm a Christian. I had someone ask me this, we were talking a little bit this past week. I'm more a Bible believer than I am a Baptist. I hope that doesn't offend you. Amen. If the Baptist group, again, we're an independent Baptist. We have no one tells us what things to do here or anything of that sort. We're not part of a dues or anything like that. But if the Baptist movement for some reason just went off the rails and fell off the cliff and just went complete apostasy. Oh, okay, well, I'm a Bible believer more than I'm a Baptist. What does God say? Now, there are some Baptist distinctives that I see in the scriptures, and that's a different conversation. But my identity is in Christ. I'm a Christian because I've chosen to follow Christ. Right. And in following Christ, there is a doctrine of sanctification. That sets me apart for holy use. That's what God designed. He takes common things and makes them holy. Before it was just a piece of wood, but when you place that in the hands of the high priests and the priests of Levites, and you run it through the rings on the Ark of the Covenant, now that is a holy piece of wood. Those are the staves that carry the Ark of the Covenant. It just took a common tree, but when God uses it, it becomes holy. It's just a metal, but when it overlays this with as gold, it all of a sudden becomes holy and precious. Hey, I'm just a common person. You're just a common person. But when placed in the hand of God, well, now we have a different purpose, don't we? 1 Peter 1:16 says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Sanctification is a commandment, but at the same time, it's also a commitment. Hey, I'm going to stick with this thing. Go to Galatians chapter number 5. I pray at this point in the sermon and in the message that you really ask the Lord, Lord, will you show me in my life where this needs to apply? For sake of time and for sake of, I don't like going through lists. I don't like trying to bring something up that I want the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Where in your life does this need help? Sounds like it's raining. Anybody see the rainbow this morning? It was the brightest rainbow. Hudson was saying there's an additional color after purple. It was so vivid. It went back to yellow. It looped. I don't think so. Anyways, we're fine. We're in here. If the lights go out, it's okay. No big deal. We still have the power of the Word of God. All right. Light of the Word. How's that? Okay. I do ask that you'd consider when we read these verses. Let's read Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Say, what is that? What is that? Is my question to you. If we're going to take Christianity serious, we need to take that verse serious. What is the lust of the flesh in your life? For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And I ask you, hey, if we're going to take all of this serious, then we need to take something real serious, and that's our flesh. Because I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. And I know the flesh and the Spirit, they war against one another. In Galatians 5:25, in the same passage at the end of the chapter, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's a daily action. When we flirt with the flesh in temptation, we are directly compromising our sanctification. God takes sanctification serious, and so should we. Are you saying I don't eat? That's why I don't want to give you lists. But I want the Holy Spirit of God to work in your heart and speak to you personally. Because if I go through and start giving you lists of how we fulfill the flesh and I don't touch on yours, you think you're okay. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Where is it that you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Well, it's just a little bit. It's not okay with the Lord. In John 13, in verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Hey, Christ can help us with getting clean. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and your soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. In true Rochester fashion, it was just torrents of rain, and now the sun is out. I'm just bringing your attention to that. So you're distracting me. I'm sorry. I was distracted. I just took us on that route. Things that God takes serious. Sin, he takes sanctification serious. For us to take sanctification serious, we have to evaluate, what am I doing in the flesh? Because it is contrary to the Spirit. Are you taking that serious? What's in your life that's going against God's holiness? If God showed up at that moment, would he be pleased? Or would you be embarrassed and shamed? Thirdly and lastly, we need to take our sin serious. We need to take sin serious. When we take sin serious in our own life, it draws us to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Number two, it helps us reach souls. Our sanctification. Are we playing with temptation? Are we playing with the flesh? I can't tell you how many times people have gotten to a disaster point in their life and said, I did not realize how powerful the flesh was. You will be no different. There are no exceptions. Thirdly and lastly, as we started this morning in the speaking of the good fight of faith, are you taking the spiritual battle serious? Number one, we need to get suited up. Crazy stuff happened over the weekend in Israel. Say, what do you mean crazy? Like war broke out. And reserves got activated and everybody's on high alert. A lot of people have died. Rockets are being fired. It's a physical war going on. Nations are aligning. That's a physical battle. What about a spiritual one? We see the videos. We see the Israeli defense team, the rescue force that they have. They have automatic weapons. They have helmets, armor. Spiritually speaking, we need to get suited up. Number one, get in the Word, Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If the spiritual battle is real and serious to you, then so is your weapon. So is your weapon. Well, you know, if it's just a game, you don't care about the book. Not as much as you should. You need to get suited up. Get in the Word. Put the armor on, Ephesians chapter number 6. We'll read the passage. You're probably familiar with it. Ephesians chapter number 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh no, I'm not in battle. The Bible says you are. As a Christian, when you make an identity in Christ, all of a sudden there's a war going on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hey, Peter, put away the sword. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. At the end of the day, don't you want to be left standing? Don't you want to hear, you have finished your course. You have kept the faith. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, these things are spiritual. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hey, if this battle is serious to you, it's not just a game, then you'll take time to suit up. In verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You'll get your weapon, you'll put your armor on, and then you'll take to your knees. To you, it may be a little thing, but to me, it was a little overwhelming this week when our bus did not pass on Wednesday. Got the phone call late Wednesday afternoon. I shared a little bit this Wednesday night. I was in my office Thursday, kind of in distress over the thing. I didn't know what to do. I was talking to Sarah a little bit. She's like, you should pray. Yeah, I should. Because the things that we're involved in, it's not about brick and mortar, metal and rubber, spiritual things. The second row here. Second row here. God, I don't know what to do. Inspector says that didn't pass the things that we need. I don't know what. Do you want us to get rid of the bus? Do you want us to get another bus? I was just pouring my heart out to the Lord, just telling him I don't know what to do. Within an hour or two, this was me talking to God, not talking to anybody else. Within an hour or two, I had someone put a check in my hand for $5,000 and say, this is for the bus ministry. Are you in it? Are you taking this thing serious? Because this is real. This isn't virtual. This isn't made up. This isn't. There's real people involved in this. And there's a God in heaven that hears us. Amen. And He takes it serious. And He likes it when we take it serious. I didn't ask anybody for anything. I just went to God and said, God, here's our problem. What do you want me to do? And literally at the same time, He was laying on someone's heart. Man, do you know what a shot in the arm that was? Like, I called our mechanic. I'm like, you would not believe what just happened. He's like, no way. He's a Christian man. He's coming out. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at fixing that one up and look at what we can do to get the big one going. Why? Because our little bus is too little for all the kids that we're bringing. Jair, you're a big boy. And we're talking about starting to run it on Wednesdays. Miss Calpe's like, hey, I want to run the bus on Wednesday over to Selden to get the kids to here to King's Club and to Sunday Wednesday night stuff. Get suited up. Because this isn't a physical battle. That's a spiritual one. Are you taking it serious? Hey, get in the fight. There's no place for bystanders in a war. Bystanders get hurt. Get in the fight. 1 Timothy 6:12 again. Fight the good fight of faith. Are you in it? Well, you know, I'm not quite sure, kind of. Hey, how about you serve the Lord with gladness? Serve others with gladness. Be a bold witness. Live like today is the last day. Prepare that. Listen for that trumpet. I so appreciate Nate playing the trumpet. I love the trumpet. One day there's going to be a trumpet that the whole entire world is going to hear. Hey, let's get ready for that. Let's prepare for that. Miss Janae just recently got married, and there was much preparation for that one event. Oh, that we would live our life getting ready for the Lord's return. Are you taking it serious? Are you taking sin serious? Are you taking your sanctification serious? Are you taking this spiritual battle serious. Let's all stand. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, say, I'm a good person. Your goodness cannot get you into heaven. It doesn't take away sin. Faith does. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Hey, do you even have a burden for the lost? When was the last time someone heard the gospel come out of your mouth? How about we start taking sin serious? Have you given so much leeway and liberty to the flesh that the sanctification has been sacrificed? Are you in the battle? Do we know where our weapon is? Have we put on the armor? Have we taken to prayer? Are we serving the Lord? Are we serving others with gladness and joy? Are you a bold witness? Are you living like today is the last day? Or is all this just a game? Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless this time of invitation. Maybe someone here today wants to put their faith and trust in you. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would have the courage to step out of their seat, come forward, and allow someone to show them what it means to be a Christian. Number two, Lord, help us. God, help us to have a burden for the lost. You took it so serious. Lord, help us to take it serious in our life. Lord, help us to take sanctification serious. Lord, help us to serve you to the fullest. Lord, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. If the Lord is working in your heart, I invite you to come and talk to him at this time.